Okay, so like imagine, right? Imagine you're hit with a really serious criminal charge, like the worst kind,
Yeah.
the kind that just turns your whole world upside down. You're facing this immense weight, this uncertainty, all these potential consequences that could like drastically change your life, and it's just hanging over you, right?
Wobbly.
Then poof, it's gone. Charges dropped, just like that.
Huge relief.
Oh, absolutely. A massive wave of relief washes over you. You can finally breathe again, thinking it's over, it's behind you. But then,
Uh-oh.
years later, completely out of nowhere, bam, you're indicted again for the exact same thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and it really makes you think, doesn't it? Does that time between those legal actions, does it actually matter?
It's a great question.
And that's exactly what we're diving into today. You know, you brought this case, United States v. McDonald, to my attention, and it's so crucial for understanding our rights, especially the Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial.
It really is.
Yeah.
And what makes this case so fascinating, so unsettling, really, are the facts themselves. We're talking about the 1970 murders of Captain Jeffrey McDonald's family at Fort Bragg, his pregnant wife, and two young daughters.
Horrible.
Absolutely horrific. McDonald himself was injured and claimed that intruders were responsible. Now, the Army initially did charge him, but those charges were dismissed fairly quickly.
Okay.
But then, here's the thing, 5 years pass. 5 years before a civilian grand jury indicts him in 1975. That delay, that's really at the heart of everything we're going to discuss.
Right. So the big question that the Supreme Court had to wrestle with was, does that Sixth Amendment speedy trial right? Does it apply during that period when the charges are dismissed?
Exactly.
And you can see both sides of the argument, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
McDonald saying, hey, this 5-year gap, this is a violation of my right to a speedy trial. And the government pushing back saying, no, when those charges were dropped, the clock resets.
Right. And that brings us to the key takeaway here. The Sixth Amendment right, it's there to protect you once the legal fight begins, not necessarily during the investigation phase.
That makes sense.
And that's precisely where the majority opinion in this case, a 6-3 decision written by Chief Justice Burger, lands. The court's stance is that the Sixth Amendment kicks in only when you have formal charges filed, so an indictment or an arrest.
So, no formal charges hanging over your head, no Sixth Amendment protection in play, at least according to the majority.
Exactly. And during those 5 years after the Army dropped the case, they saw McDonald not as an accused, legally speaking, but as a suspect in an ongoing investigation.
Ah, that's a subtle but important difference, isn't it?
Very important. And to understand the court's reasoning, we have to look at the purpose of the Speedy Trial Clause itself. Chief Justice Burger really emphasized that it's designed to prevent specific harms.
Okay, like what?
Things like prolonged incarceration before trial, the restrictions that come with being out on bail, and just the massive disruption to your life when you have these unresolved charges hanging over you. But for McDonald, during those 5 years, he was free. He wasn't locked up, he wasn't out on bail, and no formal charges were disrupting his life.
Right, so no harm, no foul, in a sense. But I can also see the argument that the suspicion itself, even without formal charges, can be incredibly damaging. Living with that possibility hanging over you, even years later, that can't be easy.
And that's where the dissenting opinion, written by Justice Marshall, comes in. He argued very strongly that the stigma, the anxiety of being accused of such a horrific crime, it doesn't just magically disappear when the charges are dropped. Especially in a case like this, that accusation leaves a mark, and the possibility of it coming back years later creates a very real burden.
So it's not just about legal technicalities, it's about the human impact of these decisions.
Right.
And Justice Marshall wasn't just talking in general terms, was he? I remember you mentioning a specific point of contention he had with the timeline.
You're absolutely right. He was particularly concerned about the 26 months between the government's investigative report in 1972, which presumably had some pretty significant findings, and the eventual indictment in 1975. Marshall argued that this delay was unjustified and prejudicial to McDonald, regardless of whether formal charges were pending.
By prejudicial, you mean?
He meant that the delay could have made it harder for McDonald to defend himself. Evidence might be lost, memories fade, witnesses become unreliable. He felt strongly that this period of delay should have been considered in the speedy trial analysis.
It's interesting that Justice Stevens offered a concurring opinion here. He seemed to agree with some of Justice Marshall's points, but ultimately sided with the majority. What was the deciding factor for him?
Stevens agreed that being accused, even without formal charges, has a real impact. But he felt that the gravity of the murder charges, in this case, outweighed that concern. Essentially, he believed the government had a very strong interest in thoroughly investigating such a serious crime before bringing new charges, even if it meant a significant delay.
So we see the split in the court, with the majority taking a more formal, technical view of the Sixth Amendment, and the dissent focusing more on the practical impact and the potential for prejudice. You also mentioned a key legal distinction that came out of this case. Could you explain that for us?
Sure. The court made a clear distinction between the Sixth Amendment's speedy trial clause, which kicks in after charges are filed, and the Fifth Amendment's due process clause. The due process clause can sometimes offer protection against excessive delays that happen before any formal charges are brought. The court basically suggested that if McDonald felt that 5-year gap was unfair and hurt his ability to defend himself, he should have argued a due process violation under the Fifth Amendment, not a Sixth Amendment speedy trial violation.
So the Fifth Amendment acts as a potential safeguard for that pre-charge period. But how is a Fifth Amendment due process claim different from a Sixth Amendment claim in terms of what you'd have to prove in court?
That's a crucial point. Proving a due process violation based on pre-indictment delay is a lot harder. You usually have to show that the delay actually harmed your ability to defend yourself, like you lost witnesses or evidence, and that the government intentionally delayed things to gain an advantage over you. That's much tougher than just pointing to a long delay under the Sixth Amendment.
It's not just about time. It's about proving real harm and bad intentions from the prosecution.
Exactly.
And I think the court also mentioned the role of statutes of limitations in this whole discussion. How do those fit in?
Right. So statutes of limitations set time limits for the government to bring charges for most crimes. They protect against bringing up really old cases where evidence is gone, memories have faded, and it's just unfair to the defendant.
So it's a general protection against stale claims.
Exactly. The court contrasted that with the Sixth Amendment, which isn't really about the total time passed, but about fairness after you've been formally accused.
Okay, so statute of limitations, broad protection against old cases, Sixth Amendment, more focused protection once the legal process has started. What does all of this mean for someone trying to understand their rights? What's the key takeaway for our listeners who are, you know, future legal eagles?
The biggest takeaway is this. Your Sixth Amendment right to a speedy trial generally doesn't protect you from long investigations before you're formally charged. It's mainly about delays after the government has officially accused you through an indictment or arrest. Basically, the government can investigate for a long time without triggering speedy trial concerns as long as you haven't been formally charged.
So they can investigate, they can dismiss charges, and they can even reindict later without automatically violating the Sixth Amendment. But that sounds like it could be problematic in some situations.
It absolutely could. And this is where Justice Marshall's warning about potential government abuse is so important. He worried about prosecutors dismissing charges to pressure defendants or buy time to build a stronger case, then refiling later when they think they have you cornered.
That raises some serious ethical questions. Could the government manipulate the timing of charges to gain an unfair advantage?
Exactly. And for you, as future legal professionals, understanding this, the timing, the nuances of when these rights kick in,
that's crucial.
United States v. McDonald really highlights that. The line between being a suspect under investigation and a formally accused defendant, it's a big one.
It defines your rights, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So to recap, the main point of United States v. McDonald is that the Sixth Amendment speedy trial clock generally doesn't run when charges are dismissed. The Supreme Court really hammered home the difference between pre-charge delays, which might be covered by the Fifth Amendment's due process clause, and post-charge delays, which fall under the Sixth Amendment.
Perfectly put. They drew a very clear line in the sand.
Now, here's something to think about as you continue your legal journey. We know the speedy trial right isn't in play during those pre-charge investigations, but those investigations can go on for a long time, causing stress, uncertainty, and disruption in people's lives. So where do we draw the line? Where is the balance between the government's need to investigate and an individual's right to have these accusations resolved in a reasonable time frame? This case really forces us to confront that question, even all these years later.
It's a complex issue for sure. And for those of you who want to explore this further, I'd recommend looking into due process claims related to pre-indictment delays. Those can get pretty intricate, but they're fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Also, look into specific state laws. Some states actually offer broader speedy trial protections than the federal standard set by McDonald. It's a nuanced area of law with a lot to uncover.
A lot to think about.
Definitely.
Thanks for joining me on this deep dive, everyone.
It's been a pleasure.
We'll see you next time.
See you then.